Welcome back to the Below Average Joes MMA Show. On today's episode, we talk Bellator Belfast, the very first event of the Bellator Champion Series. Corey Anderson finally gets a major MMA promotion championship. Patricio Pitbull remains the champion and more. And then we will get into UFC Vegas 89, where Rose Namajunas got her first victory at women's 125 pounds. What does that mean for her and the state of the division as it stands? We'll cross over to Belfast, Northern Ireland first and discuss Bellator Belfast. After 15 fights and 6 years spent in the UFC, most of those fights and years spent as a top 15, top 10 contender in the light heavyweight division, Corey Anderson, since coming over to Bellator, has garnered a record of 5 wins and 1 loss, and of course that 1 no contest that he was winning prior to the accidental head clash. He has done it. He has won gold for a major mixed martial arts promotion. Corey Overtime Anderson is the light heavyweight champion of the world in Bellator. And another OG, Patricio Pitbull, just continues to add to his resume. Corey Anderson has won 2 fights in a row since losing his rematch to Vadim Nemkov back in 2022 in what was the second title fight between them. He beat Phil Davis last June, and now he has defeated Carl Moore to kick off 2024 and finally get gold wrapped around his waist. Corey Overtime Anderson has done it. At 34 years old, he is a Bellator champion. And what a story. It is great to see him finally get to the top of the mountain. Regardless of what promotion he did it in, he is a champion. My hat is off to Corey Anderson, who has been through the ringer, had been in there with tons of world-class fighters over the past 10 years now at this point. Better late than never is what they say. The fight, listen, it wasn't some all-timer, something that I'm going to revisit time and time again. But Corey Anderson did what he had to do to get the victory. Carl Moore, to his credit, ultra tough guy. He's now 12-3. This was his biggest step up in competition by far, and he gave it a good fight. He was much better on the feet, landed some pretty dangerous shots that had Corey hurt time and time again throughout the 25 minutes. But it came down to the wrestling, pressure, and grappling of Corey Anderson. That is what got the job done for him. Over the course of this 5-round decision, he was able to press Carl Moore up against the fence for pretty much most of the fight when they weren't at range in the middle of the cage, and that is what paid dividends. He was able to get Carl down when he needed to the most after those, you know, interesting positions he found himself in the striking realm, and that is what got the victory for Corey Anderson. I'll be curious to see what will come next. They didn't really name any specific names in the post-fight like Patricio Pitbull did that we'll get into in a second. So we'll kind of see how this division will shake out. There's 7 more Bellator Champion Series events for the remainder of 2024. And I'm assuming they're going to do at least 1 more Bellator versus PFL champ, maybe 1 to start the year, 1 to end the year. I'm not 100% sure. So we'll kind of just wait and see what happens with Corey Anderson. But for now, he is finally a major mixed martial arts promotion champion. Patricio Pitbull leads Bellator in the most fights ever in their promotion, the most victories ever in their promotion, the most title victories in their promotion. The 4-time Bellator champion finds a way to win. He knocks out Jeremy Kennedy in round 3 of their fight with vicious knees and punches up against the fence in a fight that was pretty competitive. It was very close. Jeremy Kennedy was the betting favorite going into this, albeit slight. I believe it was around minus 120, Patricio Pitbull plus 100 on the comeback as a dog. But regardless, very good scrap. It was technical, but there were big moments here and there. And then Patricio lit him up and would not let him off the leash. Once he smelt blood in the water, Pitbull moved in for the kill, and he got the huge finish. He ends his 2-fight losing streak and gets his first victory since December 31st, 2022. And I love this very much. He's now 36-7, which is an unbelievable record. But look at this, 36 wins, 36 years old, 12 knockouts, 12 submissions, and 12 decisions, all things perfectly balanced for Patricio Pitbull. And he had plenty of names to call out in the aftermath of his fight. He first named the PFL featherweight champion, which we know as Jesus Pinedo. He got the job done in the 2023 season, pulled off plenty of upsets en route to becoming the champion and the $1 million winner. They were supposed to face each other on the inaugural PFL versus Bellator champion card, but Jesus had to be pulled out due to injury. Patricio was going to fight, then his new opponent had to pull out, so Patricio was just scrapped from the card. That is why we got this title fight here with Jeremy Kennedy instead in Northern Ireland. He then said after he beats the PFL featherweight champion, he's going to beat the UFC featherweight champion and prove he is the best featherweight in the entire world, regardless of promotion. And let us not forget, he did call out a Bellator fighter as well. He checked every single box. He called out Aaron Pico, and that is a fight that I think we are going to see. As I previously stated, there are seven more of these Bellator Champions Series events to happen throughout the remainder of the year. I absolutely think we're going to get, finally, the matchup of Pitbull versus Pico. Aaron Pico has been around for years now at this point in Bellator. He came in with a very high pedigree, and now he's finally put it all together, a win streak long enough to garner a shot to challenge for a title, and it will be against Patricio Pitbull. I would imagine they do this fight. The winner of that may then face whoever the featherweight champion will be at the end of the year for the PFL. That's how I kind of envision this going. And if it is Patricio and he beats Pico and then he beats the featherweight champion, regardless of if it's Pinedo or a new champion come November, will he ever actually get the chance to go to the UFC and try to beat their champion? More than likely, the odds are slim to none, but you never know. You can't fault the man for shouting out everybody in every promotion. He's already fought people in Ryzen, by the way, so at this point, he's only leaving out one championship, and knowing Pitbull, he may just call out someone from over there, too. And I will quickly mention that we do have a new number one contender in the middleweight division. The next man up to challenge the undefeated Johnny Eblen for the middleweight throne in Bellator is, well, it's actually someone Johnny Eblen's already beat and actually already knocked out, Fabian Edwards, brother of UFC welterweight champion Leon Edwards. He gets the victory over Aaron Jeffrey, a decision back and forth, pretty closely contested. Not the greatest of fights, not the worst of fights. It was just a solid 15-minute scrap. Nothing to hang your hat on, nothing to complain about. Good fight. Fabian gets back in the win column, and I say he's back in the win column because his most recent fight was a loss to Johnny Eblen. That was his most recent fight that we got to see, so he only needed one win, one fight to bounce back into the title picture. That will be another fight to come in the next seven events in 2024. For Bellator. And then I want to quickly mention three other big time performances on the Bellator Belfast card. Manuel Sosa is now 10-0 with, I believe, nine finishes. He had the most brutal finish of the entire weekend, regardless of Bellator or UFC. He knocked out Tim Wilde with 12 seconds left in the first round. One shot, bang, done. If you haven't seen that knockout, you need to go see it. It was brutal. Manuel Sosa at 155 pounds for the Bellator lightweight division. Keep an eye on him. Kieran Clark may be one of the best bantamweights in Bellator, and dare I say one of the best in the world. He's 9-0 now with six finishes. I know the problem with saying he's maybe one of the best in the world is that the level of competition is nowhere near as high as a lot of the guys, even in the upper echelon of Bellator, but then especially in the UFC. But he is an elite level prospect, if you ask me. He's right in those young to prime years, entering that perfect saga of years. If you're a mixed martial artist, he is very, very dangerous. Will we ever get him in the UFC or versus PFL champions? One can only hope. But I think he quickly now, after this performance, should climb the bantamweight ladder and not challenge for a title next, but it's possible he could come 2025. And then Nathan Kelly had a 40-second knockout finish early on the prelims. He has won, I now think, 10 straight fights. He started his career 0-2 and has since rallied off a ton of victories in a row. Very dangerous, high-level finisher, high-level prospect. And now that we are done with Bellator Belfast, we'll hop back over to the States. We'll head to Las Vegas, Nevada, the apex for the UFC. Rose Namajunas gets her first victory in the women's flyweight division. The former two-time strawweight champion Rose Namajunas has ended her two-fight skid. She has gotten her first victory since November of 2021. And most importantly, she has gotten her first victory in the women's flyweight division. Her new division, 125 pounds, a division that she has her eyes set on getting to the championship and becoming a two-weight world champion before her career is all said and done. The 31-year-old lost her debut in the weight class last September against Minan Firo, who we now know is fighting Aaron Blanchfield this coming weekend in what is an ultra-high-level battle between two 6-0 fighters. The winner surely will get the next title shot. Rose has beaten Amanda Ribas on Saturday night in what I thought was a relatively high-level fight. Amanda Ribas, I just got to quickly give kudos to her. Not only is she just the most happy fighter you'll ever see. She loves nothing more than to go out there and put on a show for the fans, and win or lose is always humble, and I appreciate that and respect that very much. She put up a good fight, and to be honest with you, she has gotten much better. Again, on Friday, I said that on paper, I just didn't see a world where she could beat Rose. I just felt like Rose was a little bit better in every single aspect of the game. But there was a world, and I'm not saying I scored it for Amanda. I think the right woman won in Rose Namajunas. But it wouldn't have been that crazy if Amanda Ribas got a 3-2, 48-47 scorecard. I'm just being honest. Round three, that's what was the most impressive, is that she flipped the switch and did her best work in rounds 3, 4, 5, where we had never seen her do that before in the UFC. We've seen Rose in those championship rounds time and time again, but never Amanda Ribas, and never at 125 pounds especially. She held her all and looked very good. Competed on the feet very well, good in the grappling transitions and sequences. Wasn't able to quite hold Rose down like she's been able to do other fighters on her resume, but a very good performance from her. The night belonged to Rose Namajunas. It was a very big win for her in this division and for her career. I still don't think Rose is a perfectly sized flyweight. She was way outmatched physique-wise to Manon Fior. This one with Ribas, they were relatively even. Amanda still looked a little bit bigger. But you got to think, Ribas is a 5-1 strawweight in the UFC. She should probably compete at 115 more than she does at 125, but she finds it easy to just go back and forth. So Rose here, you could tell, was more filled out than she was in September. Put on some more muscle, put mass, just looked a bit thicker, looked a bit more like a natural 125er. So I think as her career continues to progress at this weight class, her physique will continue to fill out and look even better. Her skills are always there. Her movement, her fight IQ, she's one of the most intelligent fighters in the game. Now, sometimes the game plan and cornering can be brought into question. We've seen that in some fights prior, but this night, was a good fight, a good performance, and now she will be a top 10 women's flyweight. She said she has her eyes on the matchup between Blanchfield and Firo next weekend in Atlantic City, and she also mentioned Macy Barber has been looking good as of late, and I'm just going to paint the picture of what I think needs to happen at women's flyweight. Does it make sense? Yes. Does that mean we will get it to happen? Probably not. So we know that Grasso and Shevchenko are going to have the trilogy. They are going to coach this season of The Ultimate Fighter. I believe it begins to air in June. I think they're going to then try and aim around September for the Spear UFC 306. For Grasso to showcase herself on Mexican Independence Day to fight in what is supposed to be a very monumental night for mixed martial arts, as Dana White has said. And so that's kind of a problem, is that they're not going to potentially fight for 6 more months. But that aside, this is the path that I want to see for the division. This weekend, Manon Fior, Aaron Blanchfield, two amazing prospects, the best that we've seen at 125 pounds since the division came to fruition, to be quite honest with you. They are both 6-0 in the promotion. It is number 2 versus number 3. The winner of that fight absolutely 1,000,000% should not fight anyone else until it is for a championship, which is assumed to be the winner of Grasso versus Shevchenko 3. And that means that Rose Namajuna should fight the number 4 ranked Macy Barber. Macy has won 6 fights in a row. And honestly, like, there aren't many other people in this division to fight other than Blanchfield and Manon, but they are booked and busy against one another. Now, I know after UFC 299, I said I would like to see Macy maybe dabble to 135 while this division plays itself out, but that was before Rose got this victory. I think it is a chance for Macy to win her 7th straight fight, to get the biggest win of her career over a former 2-time champion in Rose Namajunas, and solidify herself as the next number 1 contender after Blanchfield and Manon. And for Rose, let's be honest, she's a former 2-time strawweight champion, as I've now said 3 times throughout this quick recap. She is one of the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts. She only needs one more win to get herself into a title shot opportunity at 125, and there's no one better to do it against currently in the division than Macy Barber, someone who a lot of people are starting to get behind, who the UFC has always been behind, and who has won 6 straight fights. If Rose ends that win streak and gets a victory over one of the other biggest names in the division, boom, she's right in it for a chance to win a belt in a second weight class. And if Macy wins, boom, 7 straight victories, none bigger than Rose Namajunas. Book it. That's how we got it. Shevchenko-Grasso fight, the winner of that, whoever the champion is, gets the winner of Manon and Aaron. Let them finish their business. Boom. How many times can I put boom into this sequence? And then Rose-Macy fight, the winner of that, get the next title shot for whoever the winner of those previously 2 bouts would be. But again, it seems too perfect, right? So the odds of getting that are slim, but that's what I want to see. And I just think Rose versus Macy is a very intriguing fight, one that deserves to be a 5-round main event as well. And much like I did Bellator Belfast, I'll quickly mention some other big performances from this card. It wasn't the greatest card of all time, but we knew that going in. But there are always going to be some diamond in the rough performances. So we start with Edmund Shahbazyan knocking out AJ Dobson with 17 seconds left in the first round in a fight where he was getting banged up. AJ Dobson looked the best that he has ever looked in the UFC thus far. He looked fast, he looked accurate, and he looked powerful. Edmund took the shots, bounced back, and got a brutal knockout late into the first round. He had lost 4 of his last 5 fights, but now he's won 2 of his last 3. That looks a little bit better. He's still only 26 years old. He seems to be in the right headspace and the right camp prior to that of which he was a few years ago as a very young man making a UFC main event against Derek Brunson. I still believe in the potential of Shahbazyan. Peyton Talbot is that guy. He knocked out Cameron Simon 21 seconds into the second round. He is 25 years old. He is undefeated, and he is electric when he is in the cage. This was the MMA community main event of the week, the fight of the week, the people's main event. 23-year-old Cameron Simon, 25-year-old Peyton Talbot were the talk of the town. What does that tell you about the future of the bantamweight division and the future of this sport? It tells me that it is in a very, very good place. But Peyton Talbot proved to be better on the night. And this guy, I don't know how they're going to move him around or, you know, matchmake him in the division. He is in the 135-pound bantamweight division, which is amongst the deepest, if not the deepest and best division in all of mixed martial arts. But this is only a second UFC fight. We are on to something special here with Peyton Talbot. Let's just see how they move him up the ladder. Between February of 2020 and August of 2022, Yusuf Salal got a 3-win, 3-loss, and 1-draw record in the UFC. He was out of the promotion, and from November of 2022 to August of last year, he went 3-0 on the regional scene, 3 first-round finishes. He got the chance to re-debut in the UFC on Saturday against Billy Quarantillo on short notice, and what does he do? He puts on a masterful performance and submits Billy Q 1 minute and 50 seconds into the second round. The best performance of his career and none bigger on this stage to come in on short notice to save this matchup and to re-debut against a guy as prominent as Billy Quarantillo. Yusuf Salal has put together all of the tools he needs to make a great second run in the UFC. Let us not forget that those three losses were to now champion Ilia Topuria in a fight that went all three rounds. He lost to Sungwoo Choi, who's been in some wars with so many different fighters in their division. And he lost a split decision to the sniper, Sean Woodson. All three of those guys are very, very good fighters. Obviously, Ilia Topuria is the best featherweight in the world right now. Yusuf Salal is 27 years old, the perfect time to be back in the UFC. Fernando Padilla ended the unbeaten streak of Luis Pajuelo, ruined his UFC debut, and submitted him 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the first round. Fernando is now 2-1 in the organization. He had a close decision with Kyle Nelson last September. He was on the losing side of things. But his other win in the UFC was against Julian Arosa, who was on this very same card and got a huge comeback victory in the first round over Ricardo Ramos. So keep your eyes on Padilla and don't give up yet on Julian Arosa. Julian has 24 finishes in his career. He's kill or be killed. He's been knocked out 7 times. He was on a 2-fight losing streak, one of those to Padilla, and a knockout loss to Alex Caceres. But prior to that, he had won 3 in a row. Juicy J is one of the most fun fighters to watch in the 145-pound division, especially on the outside looking in of the top 15. Big win for him to get back on track, finishing Ramos. So that's it. Bellator Belfast, UFC Vegas 89, another mixed martial arts weekend is in the books, and it just keeps on going. We now go to Atlantic City, New Jersey, where the UFC is returning after many years, and we will get the hometown girl, Erin Blanchfield, facing Manon Fiore in what I believe to be one of the biggest fights in the flyweight division's history. But I'll get into that more this coming weekend. Have a great week. Follow the show on all your favorite platforms in the meantime, including TikTok, Instagram, X, Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. All of them, baby. The show keeps growing. We keep growing. I'll catch you in the next episode.